Welcome to Victory Christian Center of Rancho Mirage, California. We are a house of mercy and a church for the harvest, shaking the desert with the power and the love of God, taking Jesus to the world from the Coachella Valley. We pray that the word that you are about to listen to will increase and strengthen your faith. Enjoy today's message. Victorious, he lay victorious, over sin, over death, over wrong, over us. Victorious, he lay victorious, in your mighty name we trust.
Say this with me, this is my Bible, and this is God speaking to me. I am who the Bible says I am. I have what God's word says I have. And I can do what the scriptures say I can do. All right. So Proverbs 3:25 says, don't be afraid of sudden fear. So we're not going to let our hearts be arrested by fear in this hour. We're going to walk in faith and believe God for his preservation and protection over us. And we're filled with faith. In the month of January, we talked about framing our year with faith, and it is important to be relentless about that, no matter what the enemy brings against us, that we frame it with faith, and sometimes that is work, because the enemy, you know, he'll come in and loom large in your mind, and we have to get a hold of that and cast down imaginations and vain thoughts that exalt themselves against our knowledge of God. And think on these things, Paul said, things that are lovely and virtuous and praiseworthy and all the characteristics of the thought life of a believer. And we have some great resources, if you're not aware, in the bookstore about the power of our meditation of our heart, the power of our words, and the battlefield of the mind, some great books in there. So if you're not aware, get in there and avail yourself to those good things. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Not to be confused with 2 Corinthians. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and this is where we went last week as we talk about worship and the power of worship. And last week we talked about how Jehoshaphat was a good king and he had led the people of God in the paths of righteousness, and as a result of his leadership, the blessings of heaven began to come on the people. Righteousness exalts a nation. Amen. Republicans don't exalt a nation. Democrats don't exalt a nation. Bernie Sanders, independent, whatever he is. What exalts a nation is righteousness. Are you with me? And so it is important for us to say and to pray for our leaders. And there's great promise in praying. There's no promise in complaining about our leaders. But there is great promise in praying for our leaders and praying for our president and praying for Congress and praying for the United States Supreme Court and our state government and so on. Because the Word of God says if we will pray for those as believers, if the church will lift up their voice and pray for those in authority over us, we can lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and honesty. And so I think it's really important for us to realize our responsibility. And so many Christians and believers and people who really love America and love God relinquish their power because they don't pray, they complain. Is this on? Did it go off? And so if all we do is complain and not pray, it's pretty bleak. But if we will lift up our voice like a trumpet and lift up our heart in faith, believing that God will cause the heart of the king to be turned whithersoever he will, and that God will surround our president and our congressmen and women and senators with wise counsel and with voices of righteousness. And even if the Lord has to wake people up in the nighttime and give them visions or whatever he has to do, if we're praying, then that gives God leeway to move in their lives more freely than if we just whine. Thank you for excitement about that. It is true, though. And so we need to pray over and speak life over our leaders. And so important for us to frame everything that goes on with faith. And so Jehoshaphat had led God's people in righteous paths. And as a result, blessing, as the Word of God says will happen, blessing began to come upon them. And enemy nations began to take note of the rich blessings that were on his people, God's people. And they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to join together and we're going to become allies and we are going to snuff out the life of God's people and we're going to take all their stuff. So Jehoshaphat got word of that plan. And so let's begin here in verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and the others besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there's a great multitude against you from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazzaz and Tamar, which is in En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. So we talked about this last week. I think it certainly bears repeating after this week's events, but the first response, his first reaction was his natural human response, and that was to fear. When Nehemiah went out to assess the brokenness, he had heard that the city of Jerusalem had been burned and sacked. He went out to review his beloved city. There was not one stone upon another. The city lay in ruin and rubble and ash. And his first response was, Nehemiah, was that he sat down and wept. Jehoshaphat's first response was he was fearful. But we cannot camp out on our natural human response. We have to move toward that place of faith and a place of supernatural God response. Amen. Are you with me? Yes. Now, I've done this many, many times in my life, and I hate to over-tell the story of my son, who when he was 11 years old was riding his bicycle and rode in front of a car and was hit by a car and was had a traumatic brain injury, both legs broken, one leg and one ankle broken, and was in horrible condition, bleeding in the brain and so on and so on. And so that initial, as a dad, that initial hit, and, you know, if all the thoughts that would race through your mind. But we can't stay there. We have to say, okay, Lord, help me to get to a place of faith and trust in you. And so let me encourage you that if there is a situation or a circumstance that seems to be pressing in on you, that we all have a natural human response, but that you don't stay there. And so Jehoshaphat, he feared, but then he set himself to seek the Lord and he declared a fast. And so when you don't know what to do, I'm sure you know something to do. And so as one preacher once said to a group of us, when you don't know what to do, do what you know to do. And we know to pray and we know to worship. Worship in weariness. And today we're going to talk about worship as a weapon. Worship as a weapon. You know, we can worship against the onslaught of hell. We can praise our way through the valley of the shadow of death. It is a weapon, and we see that unfolding here with Jehoshaphat. So they told him, and he declared a fast and set himself to seek the Lord and declared a fast throughout all Judah. And all Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood... Pardon me. I didn't have coffee this morning. No, that's serious. And they came to the house of the Lord in the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Don't you rule over all the kingdoms of the heathen? In your hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to your seed Abraham, your friend forever? And so I want you to take note here that they begin to lift up their voice in exalting God and magnifying the Lord and reminding him of his promises and claiming the nature of God for them and the promises of God to them. And they turn the tide of that impending doom by their faith and through their response to that potential devastation. Are you with me? And so they begin to magnify the Lord. Hey, aren't you God? And you're our God. And You're over all the nations and the kingdoms of the heathen, and you've given this land to your seed Abraham, for your friend forever, and they dwelt there and built a sanctuary there and so on. And if famine or judgment or sword or pestilence comes, we're going to stand here in your presence, for your name is in this place. And verse 9 says, and we're going to cry out to you in our affliction, and you promise that you will hear us and help. And so they're claiming those promises of God. Well, we know that as we read on, and I'll encourage you to read this in your own time, but upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah. Dude had a long name. Upon Jehaziel came the Spirit of the Lord, and he has a word from heaven. And I'm so excited to tell you that God has a word for your situation. And it may come through someone who would give you that word under the unction of the Holy Spirit, but you know what? You hear the voice of the Good Shepherd for yourself. So don't wait around for a word from heaven. Get in your Bible and get a word from heaven. Pray and pray in the Spirit and let the Holy Spirit give you a word from heaven. Meditate on the nature of your Heavenly Father and meditate on Scripture and let the Spirit of God quicken in you a word from heaven. And the word from heaven was, you're not going to need to fight in this battle. This is God's battle. And so you're going to stand still and see the salvation of God. Isn't that exciting? Now, in times past, God had told them to prepare for war and prepare for battle and go in with an army. But this time it's different. It's so important for us to hear his voice and to press in and say, yes, Lord, speak. Your servant's listening. What do you have to say in this circumstance that I'm facing, in this challenge, this obstacle that is before me? What do you have to say? Holy Spirit, guide me. Jesus was so passionate and so excited about the ministry of the Holy Spirit to his followers, his disciples. Don't leave Jerusalem. You're going to receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. You're going to have power from the Holy Spirit to do the works that I do, and you've watched me do my works. Now, you're going to do those same kinds of works. And so the church is activated and mobilized by Jesus through the anointing of the Holy Spirit to look like Jesus where we live. That was sad there, right? That was responsive. I said, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to look like Jesus where we live. And in our world, very important to know that you have authority when someone is in trouble in your sphere of influence, to go to them and to pray with them and to stand with them and to speak words of encouragement over them, whatever Jesus would say, whatever Jesus would do, to minister to them in his name and in his authority by the anointing and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Just like Jesus did. Jesus said, hey, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me, and that same anointing is upon you and upon me. All right, so that's all for free. Anyway, so Jehaziel gives this word. It's not going to be a battle you have to fight in, but you're going to get to see the salvation of God. And so King Jehoshaphat anointed and appointed singers to go down into the enemy camp. And they went down singing, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. This is in verse 21. Jehoshaphat consulted with the people. He appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. So the front lines were not the army. The front lines were God's singers singing, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Send Judah ahead. Send Judah, which means praise, first. And verse 22 says, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, of Moab, and of Mount Seir, and they all ended up killing one another. And it took God's people 3 days to take the precious jewels and the spoil and from the dead bodies and to carry it back to camp. And so when the enemy comes in to try to devastate you or me, when he tries to steal from us, whether it's joy or health or finances or whatever it may be, and we will fight the good fight of faith, and we will worship in the midst of that as a weapon. Their weapon was worship. Their weapon was not a gun or a sword or an axe. Their weapon was worship. And that weapon of worship caused three enemy armies to defeat one another and great blessing to come to the people of God. And so when the enemy starts messing and God starts blessing, you just keep, and the enemy keeps messing, you praise God and be a worshiper, and God will bless through the mess. So I want us to look at a couple of other passages here real quickly. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And let's bring this into the New Testament here. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul writing, the Apostle Paul, to his young son in the Lord, Timothy. And let's begin at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord that he has enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor, and I used to be injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord... How many of you have a testimony? Yeah, you used to do stupid stuff like I did. Anyone that didn't ever do that? Because we would like to have you lay hands on us. Okay. It's just all us then, I guess. It's just us up in here. That are counting on God's grace like Paul did. So he's given his testimony. I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor of the church. I injured people, but I obtained mercy. Aren't you glad? And then not only that, he says, you know, and God counted me faithful. I hadn't shown my faithfulness yet, but he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. And he says to Timothy, and the grace, verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, this is a faithful saying, Timothy, and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And so if that's why Jesus came, that's why we're here. I said, if that's why Jesus came, that's why we're still here. How many of you, for you, let's just be honest, it's easier to be ticked off at sinners than to want to serve them. To be aggravated and disgusted with our favorite sin, people who do our favorite, you know, our big, whatever that is, and then to serve them and to, because Jesus said, if you're going to be the greatest in the kingdom, you're going to be servant of all, not servant of the Sunday school class. A servant of all. And if there are people who bug you, it's probably a great indication the Lord is stirring you about loving them. But we don't get to that place sometimes. So Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, a pattern to them which will come after, and believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto you, Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before you, that you by them might war a good warfare. So we're going to look at another verse here in a minute that says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, Paul, talking to the Corinthian church. But so he's telling Timothy, he said, I want you to do a good warfare. Gives his own testimony. And that good warfare is going to come through the prophecies according to the prophecies which went on before on thee, that you can, by those prophecies, war a good warfare. Now, as I already said, sometimes the Lord will use people to speak into your life. And we as a church, we believe that the Holy Spirit empowers believers with all the gifts of the Spirit, that all of the gifts of the Spirit that are listed in the Scripture in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 are important for today. So word of knowledge or word of wisdom, prophetic word, tongues, interpretation, discerning of spirits, miracles, healings, all those things are important. Jesus functioned in those with the exception of tongues and interpretation. But that is our supernatural communication with heaven. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, I pray in the Spirit and I pray in the understanding. I sing in the Spirit and I sing in the understanding. It's important for us to just say, okay, if that's good for the Apostle Paul, that's good for me. And I'm going to sing in my understanding. You know, if you're not a very good, how many of you, you know, sometimes we just feel like I'm not a very good singer. Does it sound very pretty? But just get some good music that you like. If it's good Christian rap music, turn that on. If it's good gospel, you know, Southern gospel, Black gospel. If it's quartets. If it's real worshipful. If it's whoever it is that ministers to you. If you're not a great worshiper yourself, you don't like to hear yourself sing, just turn that up real loud and then drown yourself out, but lift up your voice. Because it needs to come out of us. And you know what I hate is when I'm listening to a CD or something and the artist gets the words wrong. Because I'm singing along and I've got it down and then they mess it up. I hate that. But he says you're going to do warfare in a different way than struggling and grappling in the flesh. You're going to do warfare by prophecies that were spoken over you. Now, sometimes the Lord uses, and as I said, we believe, we embrace. I have a pastor, my pastor, Dr. Mike Maiden, because every human being needs a pastor, so pastors need pastors, and my pastor is very prophetic. He's very pastoral and loving and kind, and I love when Pastor Mike comes, and I love when Reverend Ron Brown comes, who's very prophetic, and when we have those ordination times and the presbytery and so on, and that flow of prophetic, and I love when the Lord uses me in that way. And I know many of you are ministering gently and sweetly in your own context, but it is important for us to know that you don't have to have someone come and give you a word to have a prophecy, a word of prophecy, that the Holy Spirit can give you a word. Whether he uses another mouthpiece or another voice of another human being or not, you can move forward and do warfare with your prophecy. And the more sure word of prophecy, the scripture says, is right here. This is a more sure word of prophecy. I love, we were talking about him at the office yesterday, Dick Mills, who used to come here pretty regularly, and a great prophetic ministry, but he always, his prophecy to people, his word to people from the Holy Spirit was always a verse of scripture. So isn't that exciting? So we can do warfare. And I think it's important for us as we're worshiping God, that we're like Jehoshaphat and God's people in that hour, that we worship him and praise him based on the promises that they were standing on. Aren't you our God? Aren't you the God over all the nations of the heathen? Didn't you say you would intervene on our behalf, and that if trouble came, we could stand here? And they begin to worship and praise and remind God and thank him, and then sent worshipers right down in the enemy's camp. So not only can we worship in weariness, like Paul and Silas had been beaten and were bruised and were in prison and in the dungeon and their feet in shackles, and in the midnight hour they lifted up their voice despite their circumstance. It certainly wouldn't have felt like a good time for a praise service, but they began to praise in their weariness And the Lord brought refreshing and deliverance, not only to them, but all that were in the jail, and then the family members of the jailer. And a miracle broke out because they praised and worshiped in weariness. Same thing, we can worship as a weapon when the enemy has come against us and when it feels like he's encroaching on our inheritance or our who we are as a believer, as God's child, that we can worship as a weapon. Don't let the enemy steal your song.
That's right.
That's right.
Let's look at one last verse here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You all know this verse. War, a good warfare. Part of warring a good spiritual warfare is being a worshiper. Now I can tell this is going really going over good. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now I, Paul, myself, verse 1, beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. So he's addressing people's familiarity and discounting of Paul in his physical, when he was there physically. Very important, because even Jesus in his own hometown could do no mighty works because of the familiarity and the unbelief of the people. And so it's important for us to esteem one another and to receive one another, because we all know our humanness. I try to be pretty transparent about my own humanness. But I stand before you here not as just as a Jeff Walker person, but as a gift from Jesus to you. And your spouse is a gift from heaven to you. And you're, are you with me? And we're a gift to one another. And so we need to say, okay, Lord, what is it that you? And sometimes that's why it's so important for us to allow the flesh to be kind of put away, and to be strong in the Spirit, because then it's easier to discern that spiritual anointing or grace on one another. And sometimes it just gets so covered up with hurt and pain and neediness and all kinds of things, the fleshly stuff, that it's hard to work your way through. But it's important for us, though, to work at that and to esteem one another after a spiritual understanding and insight. So Paul's giving that little lesson here once again. In verse 3, he says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Amen. For the weapons of our warfare, listen closely now, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against our knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness of revenge to all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look at things after the outward appearance, or any man trust to himself that he is Christ, and let him of himself think that he this again, that as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. So he says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So among our spiritual weapons are the weapon of worship. And it is mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It is important for us to understand that worship is a weapon. Part of the usage of worship is to be used as a weapon, not only in weariness for us to be refreshed, but against the onslaught of hell, against the attack of the enemy, against the enemy nations aligning against Jehoshaphat, that they used worship not only as refreshing for themselves, so worship in weariness, but worship as a weapon. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And Paul said, Timothy, war a good warfare. So do you get a report about your child? We need to begin to worship against the onslaught of the enemy against your child. Well, my kids look like they're going further from God, not closer to God. Worship. Do you know compulsive behavior of all shapes and sizes and sorts really is a flawed solution? You know, sometimes we have issues and we don't know what to do with them, so we come up with flawed solutions. I think I'll drink. That'll be a good plan. Go smoke some dope. That's a flawed solution. I suppose it's a solution for a little bit, but in the long haul, the long term, it's flawed, major-like. So when there's pain, we don't have to go to rageaholic or sexaholic or shopaholic or exerciseaholic. I've been completely delivered of that, by the way. Anorexia does not come within a mile of me. Just want to make sure you're awake. But all those compulsive sorts of behaviors that we think are going to resolve our pain really inflict more pain ultimately and eventually. So a non-flawed solution to pain or to fear or to our issues is to worship as a weapon boldly and confidently and lift up our voice like a trumpet and worship God in the midst of that, because it is a weapon that is mighty through God to the pulling down of all the nonsense that the enemy would like to have looming on our heads and encroaching on our peace. So we're going to practice today. So here's just what we're going to do. We're just going to say, praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever, because that's what they did. But you could say, thank you, Father, I worship you for my children coming into the kingdom of God. We can worship with promises. We can worship with the nature of God. You're a great and a mighty God, and I worship you, Father. And we can, rather than drink at a problem, we can worship at a problem. Are you with me? Instead of drugging at a problem, we worship at a problem like it is the mighty weapon that it is. So I want you to think about a dilemma or a circumstance or a situation that you're facing. Maybe it's in your own physical being. Maybe it's a financial situation. Maybe it's with your children. Maybe it's a circumstance at work. Maybe you feel like there's injustice in the workplace. Maybe you have a coworker or a colleague who just seems like they're the southbound end of a northbound horse. Or whatever. Huh? Trying to make it plain. I mean, life happens, doesn't it? And it just frustrates you, steals your joy. You dread going into work, or you whatever it is. Are you with me? Or the pressure of finances, or that unsaved child. There's so many things that can just press against us. But the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God, and among those weapons is worship. So I want you to think about that and get it in your mind, clearly in your mind. And I want us to begin to lift up our voice. We're going to just do this for 30 seconds because you need to get started on this. And then you can worship however you want. If you turn on music at your house and worship the Lord, I like to worship the Lord and pray in the Spirit in my car and listen to music and worship the Lord. And some of my best revelation comes in the shower. I love worship the Lord in the shower. But every free moment I try to be doing something to honor and worship God, that other things aren't going on. So I just encourage you to begin to practice being a worshiper and worship not only in your weariness, because it brings such refreshing, but worship as a weapon against the enemy. Okay, if you got something in your mind that you want to worship the Lord about, and something that's a challenge to you, or that's frustrating to you, or that's robbing you of peace, or that's a fear or concern, something that the enemy wants to bring into your life that you know is not of your Heavenly Father. Jesus said, if we being natural parents know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more, Jesus said, with a Heavenly Father, give good things to them that ask Him, Matthew 7:11. How much more? Wow. So I want you to think about that circumstance. And I want us to worship as a weapon against that circumstance. Do warfare against that circumstance. Fight a good warfare. And we're going to sing praise the Lord. Or so just shout out praise the Lord or lift up your voice, however you want to do it. But we're going to say this. And we don't have to say it in unison because I think it'll be kind of cool for you to say it in your own way. But here we go. We're going to worship as a warfare. Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Just lift up your voice. Praise the Lord, for Your mercy endures forever. Praise You, Lord, for Your mercy endures forever. I worship against that circumstance and I say, praise You, Lord, for Your mercy endures forever. Over my loved ones, I say, praise You, Lord, for Your mercy endures forever. Over that financial situation, I say, praise You, Lord, for Your mercy endures forever. Lord, against a report that has come, we say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My God is good. He is awesome. He is mighty. Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Like a weapon striking back against the onslaught of the enemy, through the ploy of Satan, through the thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. We do warfare against that with a weapon of worship. And we say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Praise You, Lord, for Your mercy endures forever. You're a great and a mighty God, and I praise You for Your mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. All right, everyone look up here. That's a weapon. Worship is a weapon. Worship is a weapon. Praise steals the avenger. Well, how often and how long do I have to do that, Pastor Jeff? Just as often as you need to and as long as you want to, and until the battle is won. Amen. It might be in an instant. It might be in a week or a month. But don't be weary in well-doing. You will reap if you don't faint. And so important for us to use worship as a weapon. Worshiping our God, exalting Him, magnifying His name, reminding ourselves and reminding Him of His nature, reminding Him of our covenant privileges and rights, what our inheritance is in Christ, and praising Him for those things and warring a good warfare.
Thank you for tuning in today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our weekend services. We are located at 34500 Bob Hope Drive in Rancho Mirage, California. Our services are on Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Please check out our website for more information at www.victorychristian.org and for the most up-to-date, exciting events that are taking place at Victory. We pray that you would prosper in every way and be in health just as your soul prospers. You are victorious.